Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope everyone's doing well today on this beautiful Sunday morning. The Lord is such a wonderful Lord. He is our God. He is so good. He is to be praised. And you know, I know that I don't praise Him enough. And for the thing that He did for us now today is Easter Sunday for the churches, and it's where they celebrate Jesus dying on the cross and resurrecting. And I just lose sight sometimes of how wonderful that gift is that He gave us, and how I am so unappreciative of what He has done for me. And sad as it may sound, it's true. And I'd like to read for you just today because I feel like praising the Lord today. And it's Psalm 145. And it's a psalm of praise. And that's what I want to do today, is praise Him. I will extol Thee, my God, O King, and I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another, and shall declare Thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty, and of Thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of Thy terrible acts, and I will declare Thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of Thy great goodness, and shall sing of Thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All Thy works shall praise Thee, O Lord, and Thy saints shall bless Thee. They shall speak of the glory of Thy kingdom, and talk of Thy power, to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest Thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry, and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. That's a beautiful psalm, and I just wanted to read and reiterate again verse 18 that says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth." That's what our job is to call upon Him in truth. And to worship Him and realize that this free gift that He gave us, dying on the cross for all our sins, how much love that was, and how I can't even understand it in my mind how much love that is that He had for us and has for us and wants us to call upon Him in truth. And, you know, He is nigh unto all of us. He's near us if we just call upon Him and hear Him and listen for His voice. And I praise His holy name, and I know that I am blessed. And thank you. That's it.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. And welcome back, Robin. We're pleased to have you back. And I think your house is more homey now that somebody's living here, you know, other than us showing up once a week and making it seem homey. But Karen, you're right. I think most of us, I know, I can't speak for everybody, I can speak for myself. We take what the Lord has for us for granted. And, you know, when we call upon His name in truth, that's the opposite of calling upon His name in vain. I mean, if we're calling upon His name in truth, it's because it's what we actually desire, it's what we actually, you know, we actually love Him, and we want to please Him, as opposed to, you know, we get ourselves into a situation and we just want Him to fix it because we want what we want and we want to get it and that's it. I mean, that's not right. The song we sang earlier is by As the Deer, I think is the name of it. But I'm going to read some of the verses here. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Now that describes what it is to desire Him in truth and to call upon His name in truth. If that is truly what you have in your heart and what is your desire, all of His promises are available to you. Now, I know that I fall short of that. Some things I do better than others, but I know that He's not my only desire. I still have fleshly things that I want and other things that at least I value that I shouldn't. And I need to get rid of those things. So when I sing a song like this and I see where I fall short, I pray that the Lord help me to attain this standard, that the Lord guide me and show me what these things are that I need to purge from myself so that I can become closer to Him. And, you know, for anybody that's out there listening or even folks in this room, I mean, if you compare yourself to the standard of the Word and, you know, even something as simple as this beautiful song and you find yourself wanting, you know, I encourage you to pray. You know, get alone in your closet, as we say, as the Word says, and pray and ask Him to help you and ask Him to do a mighty work within you. And He will. He'll bring you there.
Well, thank you, Karen and Scott. And once again, welcome back, Robin. It's nice to have you home again. The nice thing about having Robin gone was that it gives us the ability to stretch and to spread our wings, so to speak, and learn to fly. But, you know, one thing that it's interesting is, you know, we were talking to our neighbor yesterday, and, you know, he is like, well, maybe I should go to church, you know, tomorrow because it's Easter. And you know, so we kind of hit this thing I brought up. I said, well, you know, Easter's really a pagan holiday. And it's interesting that the two most celebrated Christian holidays are both pagan. And it just sees, you see how far the church has really departed from the Word of God. And I know that part of the reason for that is, you know, they're not willing to seek and move in toward what the Lord wants us to have. And I know what we had been talking about was, you know, we talked about faith and we talked about the way, you know, the only thing I can give to the Lord is my faith that's acceptable to Him. He's going to take it and He's going to purify it and try it and purge it, and it allows me to give Him more faith and have that purified and tried. And I know that one of the things that you look at is you wonder why. Why is that the case? You know, why does the Lord need us to purify and try our faith? You know, why does it need to be have the impurities of the world that have been imparted into it by our having put that faith in the things of the world be boiled out. And I know that one of the things that we run into when we see people is, you know, too many people like to say, oh, well, I'm a Christian, and that's as far as it goes. You know, that's where it ends. You know, I enjoyed being a newborn babe. I enjoyed that joy. I enjoyed that liberating freedom, that joy that I had. And I lived in that for years. But I didn't understand that there was a greater desire that He wants us to have, that we have to move forward in that. You know, we could have all this joy and all this freedom, but there's a reason why we have to have our faith tried. There's a reason why we have to have that faith purified in Him. And part of that is what I would like to read today. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Now, part of this thing that I run into, I see here, is what I'm about to read. It talks about responsibility, you know. I have a responsibility to preach the gospel. I have a responsibility to teach the gospel. Okay, to be a teacher, to bring forth the word so that others may hear and may learn and recognize that what the Lord wants to do is to bring us through this world or out of this world so that we can become perfected. And you can't become perfected unless, first of all, you're willing to have your faith tried. And you're not going to become perfected unless you're willing to move beyond what he talks about here. So, for when you, verse 12, 5:12, Hebrews 5:12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. We have to move beyond the milk. We have to move beyond the recognition that, and I'm not saying forget it, but we have to move beyond the recognition that Christ died for us and he saved us from our sins. I can dwell in that, but the thing is I'm never going to reach that meat of the gospel. I'm never going to have an understanding of that gospel until I recognize, first of all, why I need that. You know, if I look at the milk, you know, the milk is Jesus Christ died for me and saved me from my sins. So he was that sacrifice. I can live in that. But I have to move beyond that. I have to recognize why that was the case. I have to recognize why that was and why I have to continually go back to it. You know, I have to go for that strong meat. You know, we can be nourished on milk for a while, but it's that meat that gives us the strength and the endurance to go on to that perfection that we have to move to. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You know, if you look at the gospel, if you look at the word of God, you know, it's about Jesus Christ's sacrifice, okay, what he did for us to pay for our sins. Well, if that was all it was about, if there was nothing else to be, we would only have the Gospels. Okay, we would never have the letters of Paul. We would never have the meat that Paul brings forth along with the milk. We would never have that meat to recognize why we need to move beyond the Gospels. To be perfected and to be able to teach and have that meat, we have to recognize what Paul did, or what recognize the writings of the rest of the New Testament. And this is what he's talking about here. Okay, he's talking about bringing forth the Word of God so that we can be perfected and so that we can move beyond the beautiful simplicity of the gospel. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now I know that's a hard thing. Okay. And it goes back to really the Lord purifying our faith. I can't discern between good and evil if I'm a babe. Okay? Because I know when I look at the Word of God, I mean, I could flip through the Word of God and say, oh, God, this is evil that you had the Jews or Israel kill all these, you know, Hittites, whoever they were, you know, the Hittites, the Levi, or the Jezreelites, or whoever they were. You know, you look at that as evil. I mean, I would. But it comes to that point that once I move beyond my own understanding into really the meat of the Word of God, I come to understand why that had to happen. And part of that teaching that we have, or part of that deliverance of that gospel, is a lot of people have trouble when they say, well, why did God send them in to destroy all these nations? If you don't have the meat, you can't tell them why that was good and righteous of God to do that. We have to move to that point, because there's that time that comes, that's coming, or has come, where we have to be able to have, by knowledge of His Word, the words to speak to those who ask those questions. I mean, I have a lot of people that go, well, had this conversation a couple weeks ago, you know, what's God going to do with the Africans that never heard the gospel? I'm like, what's it matter to you? I mean, is it going to affect your decision whether to accept Jesus Christ or not? I mean, hello? God is righteous. He's going to judge them. How? I don't know He's going to judge them. I don't see it in His Word. Clearly, that's maybe my lack of finding that morsel of meat. But you know, where it came back to Him was that, what does it matter to you? You know, how does that affect your salvation? If you're going to reject the gospel because of some unknown out here in the world, then you're never going to receive Jesus Christ. Because once you've heard the gospel, you're accountable to that gospel. And then, you know, and part of that goes back to, that's when you can use the meat of the Word to feed these people. Or not to feed, well, you become skillful in the use of the Word to help show them the discernment between the good and the evil on there. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. And if we, and this will we do if God permit. Now, I'm going to stop there. Okay. I'm reading there. One thing that always threw me off here when I read that, you know, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, you know, that always was kind of like, wow. What he's saying here is you're moving away from the milk, okay? Because you can't be strengthened and perfected if you never get off of that milk. You're never going to endure and learn to endure and take that trying of your faith if you don't move on toward the meat. And I'm not saying that it's not important. It is important. It is the crux of the gospel. But if you don't move beyond that, you're not going to understand why, when your faith is tried, why it's being tried. You know, Lord, why is this happening to me? Well, why is it happening? To perfect you, to boil you, to try your faith, to separate the worldly impurities that have entered that faith, that have kept you from coming, drawing closer to the Lord. You know, I know when you look at a person like Moses, you know, Moses had a lot of purifying to go through, but he reached it. He became perfected. You know, and I know that he is sitting up there in heaven with God the Father and Jesus and all the saints. You know, our goal is to get to that point where we're completely boiled out of self for what verse 4 starts talking about. Because if we're not boiled out of self, we're never going to be able to stand in heaven. And that's the key of this thing. You know, if you're not eating of the meat, you don't understand that it's part of dying to yourself and making it about Jesus Christ and others. Because if we don't get to that point, when you enter into heaven, you're not going to be perfected. You know, we're not going to be perfected. And I know one of the scariest things I ever heard, and I was like, ooh, well, and this is part of the meat. You can get into heaven. You can get up there and go, hallelujah. And someone, you know, however it works, you know, hey, could you do this? No! You know, you're gone. Because God's not going to permit sin to enter into heaven. And part of what we go through and part of this meat is that we have to go through, purify that faith, and have that impurities of the world removed from us so that we can stand. So that we can stand and so we can believe. And also it's to give us the ability to stand for others when they're in need. And I know that's what we have to do. We have to stand and fight the fight for the babes because they don't understand the battle. They understand the gospel. They've received the gospel. They rejoice in that gospel. But we have to stand in battle for them until they're strengthened up, until they're given the ability to grow and start eating of the meat. And then they can stand for others. And we're in that point now where we have to be eating that meat. Things are changing. Things are happening. If we're not at that point of eating that meat, we risk being not fully strengthened in the time of that battle. We have to be strengthened before that battle hits. And so I praise God for His Word. And that's it. Oh yeah, one thing too. We sing a song and, you know, it goes, hallelujah. I'm sure that's like harder than heck to hit that note. I just wanted to say that because I'm like, oh man.
We try to sing a song, right?
It was hard for all of us. Right? Not just you.
Well, good morning, everybody. Psalm 145:18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. The truth is, I guess the first example we see of that is Cain and Abel, because Abel called upon God in truth. We call upon God through the blood of the Lamb, and He is nigh unto all that do. And then that is really that place that Charles spoke about in Hebrews, where we call upon Him through that sacrifice that He performed to reconcile us to Him. But then He does call us to enter in. And, you know, there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of this world, and there's the kingdom of God. Christ's blood opened the way for all who will believe to exit this kingdom and enter His kingdom. That kingdom, as Charles said, is one where He is king and we are subjects unto him and his way. And the only way to stand and go through that process that Charlie's talking about of being purged is, it really is based on trust, isn't it? Trust that he is good, that his ways are righteous, that this way in which he authored salvation is the one that can bring us to that place where we can dwell for eternity in Christ. Because it's easy, and you hear the complaint of man against God all the time. They blame him for everything. And even in our complaint, we do the same. In the Psalms it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him from them all. And those aren't sins, necessarily. They're just life and its afflictions. To get past the milk kind of goes to what you said in the beginning, Scott, of we'll have to not sound stupid or something. The truth of the matter is the blood took care of stupid, didn't it? We all fall short of the glory of God. And one thing that was spoken to me on my trip, which is worthy of remembering, is we can compare ourselves one to another. And it is easy to either see yourself as worse or see yourself as better. We do both, to be honest with you. The comparison is wrong, though. It's when we compare ourselves to God. And then we understand our need for a Savior. And then we get afraid, if you will, because God, in his righteousness, cannot accept sin. And so he has, by his blood, forgiven us our sin. And he has called us to stand up, go forth in the simple sufficiency of it. Not in our own sufficiency, not in our own smartness, not in our own ability, but we stand and proclaim him when we will actually stand in what he did and trust him. It's unnatural to us. It's unnatural. That's why in Proverbs it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Our understanding is deceitful. Our understanding, until it has been reconciled through use, through obedience to those who have the rule over us, to choosing the Word and his ways over our own. Our ways are always not his ways. We've been reading Luke, and as is almost always the case, it is in retrospect that I gain an understanding of what we've gone through. And we read in Luke 11, on verse 33, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye, therefore when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. And when we will stand and allow him to work that work in us and put that light of Jesus Christ on that candlestick, it'll shine bright. And it has, he has placed this truth in earthen vessels so the glory will be his. That means that we aren't glorious. Now, we get to partake of his glory because he testifies that we are his. That he makes a difference between us and others. But that difference isn't going to come until we are willing to stand in him and what he has provided rather than looking unto ourselves, seeking to find any resolution of us to him outside of his blood. And part of that purging is to constantly bring to our knowledge how often we seek to reconcile our flesh with God. There is no reconciliation of that. But by faith in him, and in the fact that those who have received him have been baptized, both in water, where we actually by choice put off our flesh and resurrect into his body. We're in his body, if you will. That's what he says, right? Every morning you should ask that he make that translation from the body of this death that you dwell in your natural man, into the body of Jesus Christ. But that body of Jesus Christ, then, even as we learned in the revivals, that he who will come after him so ought to walk even as he walked. See, we can. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Period. So our own failings, our own shortcomings, the light that shines on us and finds us wanting. I mean, hello. But we have the answer, right? I mean, we have the answer. And it's never going to be about pride, because that's exactly what will kick us out of heaven if, in fact, we make it there. It's always going to be about the gift of God. And the meat is to go forth and walk in that truth and allow the ways of God to become known to us. You have 4 children. I mean, they don't know the ways of God yet. They are just learning your guys' ways. And I mean, they are learning your ways, so you want to, by faith, have your ways reflect God's ways. But you know what? They got to walk. They're moving forward, right? They're not stagnant. There's no retardation in them, right? And I don't mean to speak against people that have a thing like that, but there is a retardation that holds back. They're not partaking of that. But the only way for them, the hope they have is manifest through you guys. Now, you're not their only hope, because God is bigger than you. And in fact, he is their hope. But the better you set yourself in him through obedience, the more you're going to be able to minister how to walk. And as they go forth and you let them go forth, you know what's going to happen? They're going to stumble. They're going to fall. But how are they ever going to learn to walk? It's the same truth of you and me. We don't go forth because we have a confidence in never falling. We go forth because we have a confidence in God, to whom is all the honor and glory. And you know the truth is, unless we're willing to do that, we're never going to know his ways. And it is an act of faith. It's not sight. So, sight is where our feelings lie, how we feel. I wanted to read one other thing. It's in Luke 12. And actually, verse 31. And this is, I'm just pulling these two verses out. We're going to be in Luke 12 the next couple Wednesdays, so we'll go back through it in the context of this verse. But Verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, we sang that song. You know who seeks the kingdom of God? Are the ones who fear God. It really starts with a fear of God, a knowledge that He is holy and we're not. And that He is a good God who has made a way, made provision, whose desire is for us to be cleansed of all unrighteousness, that we might spend eternity with Him. And in that is the knowledge that we need that dang cleansing. We are unrighteous outside of Him. Fear not, little flock. This is the one I wanted to say. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Do you believe that? What stops us then? You know what I'm saying? Let's go forth as people that believe. It doesn't matter how we look in the midst of that, does it? It just doesn't matter. It matters how He looks. And when we stand in the gospel, He looks mighty good.